The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show right here at eradiosports.com. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, and now it is time to completely shift avenues. We were talking about the Dallas Mavericks in the first portion of our show. We're going to close out with our weekly Under the Helmet segment with Jason Peter. In our mind, he is a future Hall of Famer in the College Football Hall of Fame. Jason Peter, it's great to have you back with us, and there is some big college football news that's out. Of course, the 2013 College Football Hall of Fame announced this year's inductees. What was your impressions?
Well, I think obviously the headliner was Tommy Frazier, a guy that certainly I'm familiar with here at Nebraska. I think coming off of the snub from last year, I think a whole lot of people out there were saying to themselves, whether they be just fans of the game or guys that write, journalists, commentators, saying to themselves, how is this thing a Hall of Fame if you don't have Tommy Frazier in there? By many considered the best option quarterback to play the game. Certainly there's no professional career there other than, I think, one season, maybe in 96, up in Canada. But his game didn't really fit the NFL back then. I don't know if it would fit it now, but certainly the mobile quarterback is kind of back in. That's the thing that everybody wants. But, his throwing game probably isn't where it would need to be successful in the NFL. But, Tommy is, he's regarded in these parts of the country as, one of the all-time greats. And, I think a question that he's been asked a lot in just these past few days of being accepted into the hall is, the people are asking, there's a lot of people or teammates that say, you weren't a great teammate or you didn't get along with a lot of your teammates. And that's just the way that it was back then. And I think you find any championship team, and that's probably the general attitude, is that you have guys that are not interested in making sure they're buddy-buddies with every guy that's on the roster. They're there to win football games and to win championships. And I think when you have those types of guys with that mentality, those are usually the teams that are there at the end of the day, standing on top of the mountain. And Tommy was that kind of leader. He didn't care if you liked him or not. He was going to go out and he was going to push you and there was a lot of trash talking going on out there. I can tell you firsthand, as a guy who was part of those black shirt defenses when we won championships, we didn't care for him or any of those guys on offense, and I'm sure they didn't care for us. We were loyal to our units. Certainly, we realized that we were a team. But our loyalty lied with the guys that we lined up next to. And, for myself and other guys, it was defense. And for Tommy and some of those guys, it was about their offense.
Nebraska great Jason Peter weighing in on the 2013 College Football Hall of Fame. As I had mentioned earlier, it was just announced this week, talking about Tommy Frazier. And what is interesting is this year's class, Jason, included three legendary Heisman Trophy winners. Tommy Frazier, he didn't win a Heisman, but if you look at what he was able to help produce, 34-3 as a starter, and helped lead you guys to consecutive national championships in 94 and 95.
Yeah, the Heisman Trophy is something that, and I guess I have to lead by saying, since there hasn't been a ton of success around these parts in the last 10, 12 years, a lot of people still talk about the 90s like it was happening, you know, just happened yesterday. And, you know, that's part of what makes Nebraska great, but they talk about the Heisman that Tommy should have won. Eddie George, I believe, walked away with it that year. Yeah, people here, they still think Tommy Frazier won the Heisman Trophy. You know, you certainly could make an easy case for that. But Tommy, you know, he'll be the first one to tell you it's not about the individual awards. He came here to win championships. And it's, you know, a great story. Here you got a guy that comes from Florida, where pretty much, you know, most of the schools wanted him. Not everybody wanted him to play quarterback, but most schools wanted him in one way or another. And Coach Osborne wanted him to play quarterback here at Nebraska. And he comes out here and gets the keys to the Cadillac, I think, his sixth game of his freshman year. And there were some bumps in the road, certainly a loss to Iowa State. I think that shocked a lot of people. But then you have the losses in 93 to Florida State. And I think he had another loss in there somewhere. But, you know, has a tremendous amount of success. Is a three-time MVP of national championship games, and he just, you know, is on top of the world. And then all of a sudden, in 1994, he has a blood clot. And, you know, this guy, not only is his football career in jeopardy, but his life is in jeopardy. And, you know, certainly receives the best treatment possible, but is able to come back. And, you know, he missed most of that 94 year, but came back to play in the national championship game against Miami. And he came off the bench in relief of Brooke Berender. And, you know, who knows if we win that game if Tommy doesn't come off the bench and give the team the spark that it needed. You know, just a great competitor, and what was all about winning, and certainly was able to get all the health issues in check, and comes back for 1995, and you know, puts together arguably the best team in college football history.
We've been taking a look at the College Football Hall of Famers. Of course, you know, I just was talking about some of the three of the Heisman Trophy winners. Of course, Miami's Vinny Testaverde, Florida's Danny Werfel. I enjoyed visiting with him a few years back, and Wisconsin Ron Dayne in 1999. Jason, we are quickly running out of time, but we did want you to weigh in on the NFL, kind of the draft grades, the Vikings, the Rams, the Steelers. It really seemed like those were the teams that came out the best. They fared well, and they earned those top marks.
Yeah, I mean, I really like what they did in St. Louis, and I know you'll like that with Sam Bradford.
That Oklahoma connection, yeah.
I think you're going to have an offense that's similar to the old greatest show on turf. Back when I was playing in the late 90s and early 2000s, when Kurt Warner was there and Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk and all those guys, you know, they could score on you in a heartbeat. And now, I think when you look at Sam Bradford and what he needed some weapons, and he got them. You know, Tavon Austin is hands down, I think, the most electric player in this draft, and you know, they're able to give him a weapon, and you know, then they get Ogletree, the linebacker from Georgia, who, you know, had some personality, I guess, concerns, but he can certainly play, and they got the T.J. McDonald from USC on defense. I think they did a tremendous job in their draft.
Well, I know Jeff Fisher is going to be very excited. They were very impressive in terms of what happened and transpired in the draft. But my final team I want to talk to you about, we'll talk more about this over the next few weeks, Jason, but the Pittsburgh Steelers. I keep our eye on Landry Jones, and he certainly landed on his feet and within a great organization.
Yeah, I'm sensing that all of the Oklahoma guys are some way or another tied to this draft with playing favorites.
You think, Jay?
They had a good one too. I think with Jarvis Jones, who a lot of people thought, you know, may be the best player in the draft, or he was at one point talked about as a top five pick. And here they get a guy that can get after the quarterback, and they need that because losing James Harrison. That was a big part of that defense. But what a great situation for Jarvis Jones to go in there, and Dick LeBeau and that Steeler defense. But they added some help on the offensive side with Le'Veon Bell, the big running back from Michigan State, who can kind of pound the ball, kind of what you envision with a Steeler running back. And they got a good receiver, the kid out of Oregon State, Marcus Wheaton, who a lot of people thought was, besides maybe Austin, the best receiver in the class.
Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to hit on as well the Minnesota Vikings, Cincinnati Bengals, and the 49ers. As I said, these guys all did extremely well in this year's draft. And Jason, we want you to weigh in on that and provide your expert analysis. So have a great weekend, a Mother's Day weekend. Send our very best to lovely Sarah. And we'll talk to you next week. Okay, Jay?
All righty.
Much more straight ahead. Stay close.